Welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Woohoo! It's Friday again. How happy are we that we get to have another beautiful weekend? This is going to be an absolutely beautiful, gorgeous weekend. If you're going down the shore, if you're from Jersey, you know there is no extra pronoun preposition there, and down to the shore, it's just down the shore. And hopefully a lot of you will be going to places where you can take your pets. One of the lovely things about having a pet is that we'd like to take them all over. And just like right now in my studio, I've got, about 7 or 8 Rhodesian Ridgebacks laying here on the floor and on the couch next to me. We like to take our dogs with us, but there are some things you should really do before you decide to take your dog outside with you. First is very obvious, is to have something, a container or a little doggy kind of a thing, that you can carry some water, cool water. I use filtered water or bottled water. If you do travel a lot with your dog and he tends to have a little bit of a sensitive stomach, you might want to consider bringing your own water, bottled or filtered water, so that there are no chemicals or bacteria in the water that might be making your dog ill or feel less than perfect. So just consider that. Now, when you bring a container, remember, if you leave it in your car and it's getting hot and cold and heating up and cooling down, even if you never opened the bottle of water, it can still get bacteria in it. So don't leave the same bottle of water, even if it's unopened, in your hot car for more than a week or so, because unfortunately, as it expands and contracts, bacteria can get into around the top of the bottle. And as well for you, you may wind up getting sick. You can get bacteria and protozoal things and all kinds of little creepy crawlies, like Von Leeuwenhoek used to call animalcules and cavorting beasties, those of you who are into biology. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that can be living in water. Another thing is, if you're traveling with your dog, don't leave the dog food in your car or in your truck for weeks at a time. Again, there are a lot of oils, especially if it has a fish base or salmon base. Oils can turn rancid. So don't keep the oil or keep the dog food that contains the oil in your car. If you're traveling, don't use the same bag of dog food and just leave it there, because it can get rancid. And it can also get bugs in it, and you wouldn't even know. And then you go to feed your dog, but it's the same bag of food I always feed him. Yeah, it's the same bag of food you always feed him, except that it's been sitting outside, and it's rancid, and it's got all kinds of gunk and junk growing in it. So definitely think before you just give your dog whatever food or water you've got laying around in the car or truck. Another thing is, if your dog is going to be going outside and playing with other dogs, you might want to consider updating him on his vaccinations or getting a titer. Now, people ask me all the time, hey, Janice, what's the difference between a titer and vaccinations? Well, actually, a titer tells you what level of antibodies the body has in preventing and fighting off disease. So if your dog has, let's say, been vaccinated, immunized every year religiously for many years, and your dog is now 7 or 8 years of age, or even younger than that sometimes, it may mean that your dog already has enough immunities and antibodies in his system that he just doesn't need to keep getting vaccinations. And sometimes dogs can get, not that they do, but they can get sensitivities to being over-vaccinated, and they can sometimes come up with autoimmune issues. So why would we want to do that? So check with your veterinarian and ask your veterinarian if you can titer the dog instead of just vaccinating. Is it more expensive? Yeah, of course, because it's a pretty good blood level, and they can titer for all the different things. But, you know, if you only have one or two dogs, maybe it's not a problem. If you have a ton of dogs, I still titer because I don't like to over-vaccinate my animals. So that's another thing. Now, if you're going to be in an area where there might be a lot of other dogs, you might want to consider asking your veterinarian about a Bordetella shot. That's kennel cough. Now, that doesn't protect them from every single type of kennel cough out there, but it protects and prevents most of them, and it can even prevent it from being quite as severe in cases where the dog is exposed to it. So again, we're not telling you not to vaccinate your pets, but consider titering and consider giving your dog an intranasal form of Bordetella, which is a kennel cough that can protect and prevent the dog from getting certain things if the dog is exposed to a lot of other dogs. Another thing that you should consider doing, make sure that your dog is wormed properly, especially if he's going into standing water. Water can contain all kinds of protozoal, disgusting little cavorting beasties and animalcules, and sometimes your dog may go swimming or might even just be hiking, and as he walks, he's stepping on mud or dirt or animal feces that you don't really see because the dog is moving quickly, and especially if it's near things that are like crows can carry a lot of diseases, and opossums can carry things. So let's say an opossum poops in the woods. Isn't that a joke? Does an opossum poop in the woods? Well, let's say one does, and your dog steps on that. And now, even though he's not in water, when he gets home, he licks his feet, or he walks around your floor for a while. And so that's all over the place, and now you and the dog are all exposed to this. So there's something called a SNAP test you can get done, and you want to keep an eye on your dog. Just check regularly if you are outside a lot in the summer with your dog for Giardia or lickiosis, Lyme disease, things like that. Because if your dog is exposed to those things and you're not ready for it and you don't expect for the dog to have a problem, you may be in the woods camping and 3 days later your dog is violently ill. So, again, just keep an eye. Make sure your dog is immunized. And we're not just talking rabies, but make sure he's protected from the things that we do have control over. Don't over-vaccinate, but consider titering. So those are some little things that you want to just make sure that you keep an eye on when you're going to have your dog out with you. So there are some obvious things we're going to talk about when your dog does get overheated and what to do. Obviously, if you have a boxer, bulldog, pug, French bulldog, a brachiocephalic, don't worry about spelling it, but brachiocephalic means that the nose is short. It's those snub-nosed dogs. If you're a Boston Terrier, Shih Tzus, the little dogs or even a larger dog who has a restricted airway, typically the dogs who snore, and because their dogs will naturally be able to cool themselves by inhaling and exhaling and panting. That's pretty much how they do that. So if the dog can't breathe properly because it's humid or it's too hot out, he can overheat. He can even die of heat stroke. It's not that uncommon for dogs to die in the summer. Dogs will die quicker in the summer from things than they will in the winter from being cold. It's easier for the body to shiver and shake to make heat very often than it is for a dog to try to cool itself. Remember, they don't have sweat glands, so the only way a dog is able to cool itself is when it's able to pant. We're going to talk about a lot more about how to cool down your dog in the hot summer when you're running and playing with them in just a moment, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and the Wyatt crew. We are just so happy to be talking about summer stuff. This winter just never looked like it was going to go away. Thankfully, it finally did. But let's talk some more about what to do now that we have the summer heat coming up. Because people don't think about when you go into a restaurant and you leave your dog tied, not only is there a chance that somebody could steal the dog, there's also a chance that the dog could overheat or another dog could come and try to attack him because he can't get away. Be very careful when you're tethering a dog, because when you tether a dog to a location, it can't get away. Other things can get at it, but it can't get away. So be very aware of that. So let's say you've got your dog outside and you're enjoying a hike and, you know, there are other dogs around. Your dog gets along with other dogs, so you're not worried about it. But for whatever reason, there's a wild animal. And your dog takes off after the wild animal. He comes back. He's got a cut on him. Well, if you had a first aid kit, and we're going to have Janae Bowen from Dog E911 on the show in the next couple of weeks, if the dog has a cut on him or has a gash or is bleeding in any way or seems to be in distress, you should have a little first aid kit for your pet. We usually have one for ourselves, but if you've got an old English sheepdog or a German shepherd, chances are that Band-Aid's not going to stick real well to the cut to keep him in good shape. So you want to consider having things like rolls of gauze, even things like the Steri-Strips, which if you have a short-haired dog you can use, things to make pressure wraps, including vet wrap or Coflex, and even a triangular bandage, which can be used to make deep pressure and make something that can be used to stop bleeding. The other things, though, that are very, very handy are things that you wouldn't really normally think of. How about if your dog comes back and he's very overheated and maybe he's in shock? How do you cool the dog if the dog is super overheated or if the dog is shocky? Well, if the dog is overheated, what most people do is they put something cool, like a towel or whatever, a wet towel, on top of the dog. Now, most dogs have a lot of hair or fur. So what happens is when you put that cold or that water on top and then you cover it, it actually almost steams the dog. It bakes the dog. Dogs can't perspire, so that they need to have something cool underneath them. So to cool a dog properly, don't start getting it wet from the top, because that could actually cause it to have more problems. You want to let it lie on something, especially on under its armpits, on the inside of the back legs, on its belly where there's less hair. That's where you want to wet it down and try to cool the dog off there. You can wet the ears. Don't soak the whole dog, but you can wet the ears a bit, a little bit on the inside, just a tiny bit, and on the outside, because those are areas that have a lot of blood flow and can cool the animal pretty quickly, kind of like if you put cool water on your wrist when you're very, very warm. After a while, after a minute or so, you'll start feeling much more cooled down because there's so many blood vessels in your wrist and upper arm or lower arm, forearm. Same thing with the dogs. We want to make sure that the dogs do not get overheated. Now, if your dog has an injury, obviously you're going to try to get to a veterinarian as quickly as possible, but it is okay to put deep pressure if there is a gash or a cut. And if you have vet wrap or Coflex, or even if you have, you know, just an extra shirt or something, you can tear pieces out of it, wrap it around, preferably with something, a pressure wrap underneath it, and you can actually tie that. Don't make it so tight that the dog can't breathe. And for God's sakes, if it's an injury to the dog's neck, please don't strangle the dog by tying the dog's neck up with a tourniquet. Really, be sensible. But try to move the dog as little as possible if you can get a car in there and get the dog to, you know, safety. Some of you who are in different areas of the country might have poisonous spiders around. You might have poisonous snakes around. There might even be poisonous frogs and toads around. So know the area that you're going to be taking your dog to make sure that you have, either, if it's possible, anti-venom kits, or that you have something like an EpiPen for a human that could potentially be used in case the dog goes into anaphylaxis. One of the most important parts of taking your animal out when you're going out and having fun is being prepared for the things that we don't want to happen but certainly can happen. Oh, like I said, one of those is if the dog gets hurt. So make sure that if your dog does tend to overheat, that you try not to exercise too much in the heat of the day. By all means, don't take your dog to the beach. It scares me when I see people with a dog in the beach, because if the dog starts drinking the water, the salt water, there's a good chance that the dog will become more dehydrated, and the salt is really not good. It's like if you're in the ocean, they tell you don't drink the seawater, even if you're thirsty, because it will dehydrate you quicker than if you just don't drink anything at all. But bring some bottles of water for your dog with something that he can drink out of. It's not a bad idea either. Don't feed your dog a big meal before he's going out for a big walk or a hike or going to the beach. Give him a small, moderate meal, and you can give him another moderate meal when he goes, comes home at night. One of the big causes of muscle cramps and of dogs bloating is that the owners give them a big meal, and then the dog runs around, or they run around, and then they eat immediately after, and then the dog winds up getting a torsion or a twisting of the stomach, which is called bloat, and is fatal, very often fatal. So please use your sense, use your common sense. Please don't take your dog places where he doesn't need to go. It's better for him to be inside in air conditioning and, you know, comfortable, and so he didn't go to the beach for the day, than it is for him to be out at the beach and, you know, in a situation that's not good. And how about, what do you do if your dog isn't really great with other people? Well, when you go in the water or you go into a restaurant and you leave that dog, how do you know there's not going to be a little toddler who's going to toddle on up to that dog and go give him a big hug, and your dog's going to be like, hey, kid, get away from me, but you're not there to provide for him and protect him. And suddenly the child gets bitten by your dog, and now you have a lawsuit, and all you wanted to do was go in and get a cup of coffee. Now you've got real problems. So, again, consider before you do bring your dog, make sure that you aren't going to, you know, be keeping the dog outside or unattended for any length of time. It's not safe. It's not a good idea. You don't need to have somebody else watching your dog. Let him stay home where he's comfortable. Now, again, with the water, there are other things that you can do if you do have a dog who doesn't drink a lot, like my Rhodesian Ridgebacks aren't big drinkers. What we'll do is give them a little bit of chicken broth or a little bit of clear Pedialyte, which you can buy at any pharmacy. Pedialyte has some of the different things that are electrolytes and such that are able to help the dog. Or get your dog on the NuVet vitamins that I talk about all the time, N-U-V-E-T, NuVet.com, the NuVet Plus Wafers for Dogs. You can use code 40560, that's NuVet, N-U-V-E-T.com, code 40560. Those contain all the electrolytes and everything that your dog is going to need so he'll be strong and he won't be quick to succumb to the summer heat. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment with some more summer tips. In a moment.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you're referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, I can't believe that we've got so many people who are emailing and texting and contacting me in order to ask questions about different things. I want to definitely handle one of those questions right now, and it is a great question. I can't even tell you, probably 15 people in the last couple of weeks have asked a specific question, so here it is. Can you use booties on your dog? And does that problem, if you use that, create a problem where the dog's pads are not getting strong? Well, here's the thing. In a normal house, and for a puppy, they're usually somewhere around 6 or 8 weeks old when their pads of their feet start getting a little bit toughened up. Now, yes, if your dog went out on hot pavement at 6 or 8 weeks of age or before, the pads could get damaged. But normally, just by walking on the floor or on carpet, the pads will start to toughen up. That being said, if you live in Dallas, Texas, or you live in, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, or you live in a really hot area, and you have a dog who's going to be outside quite a bit, it's not a bad idea to consider having something to help him so he doesn't walk on that hot pavement. Sometimes, not often, but when it's going to be really brutal weather, I will have those on my service dog. If we're going to be in an area where there's not so much the snow and ice, but if there's going to be a lot of rock salt, because the rock salt can get up within the pads, and obviously we don't have to worry about that in July, but the rock salt can get up there. Well, same thing when you're taking your dog on the beach or you're taking your dog walking. He could get sand or a pebble or a cut up there. So if you feel more comfortable having that and if your dog doesn't mind, there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's better to protect the dog than to not do it, and then you have the problem. I've definitely seen my share of dogs who've had cuts in their pad. With horses, they get something either called a stone bruise or a little tiny grain of sand can actually work its way up over the course of months even and come up into the frog of the foot, which, yes, horses have frogs. The frog of the foot is the kind of V-shaped skin, and it's not quite hoof, it's not as hard, but it is very, very firm, kind of like our toenails, but maybe a little softer than that. And a lot of times what happens is a little piece of sand can get up into the horse's hoof or into the back of the hoof, and then, you know, months later they can have an abscess. Well, same thing can happen with a dog. So if your dog is going to be around an area with a lot of sand, it's not a bad idea to wash, not just wipe, but actually shoot some water up between the pads of the feet on the underside to get rid of any extra salt or sand or stone debris that could have worked its way up there. And this way, you'll keep your dog a lot healthier and happier. Now, those of you who like to run or jog or bike, or take your dog out in the side of your van, whatever you want to do. If you like to take your dog out, again, consider doing it. If it's a very hot day, consider doing it either very early or very late. One of the things that, of course, is very obvious is that the pavement gets really, really hot, especially black pavement. Macadam gets hotter than concrete because black absorbs the heat and the light waves, and white reflects the heat and the light waves. So if you have a choice of having the dog stand on the grass or on concrete or macadam, the best choice is the grass, the next best is the concrete, and the final, the worst one is the macadam, because your dog is actually going to get burned. They can get second and even third degree burns from standing on a surface that has a lot of, heat coming from it, especially if there are petroleum distillates in it, as we have with macadam. It has that kind of disgusting petroleum-y smell, like that oily, and that can get up into the dog's skin and irritate it as well, because as the things get more heated up, the chemicals and the gases come out of solution, and they can actually really irritate the dog's feet. Same thing, be careful when you're walking your dog. Make sure that he's not picking up some food that's laying around. You don't know where that food came from. You think, oh, it's only a pizza crust. How do you know somebody didn't stick rat poisoning on it? How do you know that it's not rancid? You don't know. So just, use the same common sense that your parents obviously used with you, because if they weren't good parents, you wouldn't be here to listen to my show today. You wouldn't be here. So please take care of your dog. Make sure that they have enough good, clean, cool water to be able to hydrate themselves. Offer them water every 15 minutes or so if you're exercising. It's always a great idea if you do have a campsite. If you do have a fan or something that is able to keep the air flowing so that your dog doesn't get too overheated. And again, if you have the kind of dog who has longer hair and you do shave the dog, consider shaving or sending the dog to the groomer and having them clean up a bit of the undercoat that's on the bottom. And also, not a bad idea to clip the hair from between the pads of the feet so that he's not getting anything that's going to get up into that. And also, he won't slide around. A lot of times dogs who have issues with floors or shiny staircases, it's not that it's a visual thing very often. It can be walking, imagine walking down a marble spiral staircase and you have a pair of socks on and you can't hold on. You can get really, really, moving around a lot there and slippery just because there's so much, there's no friction. There's just so much sliding going on between, socks and the floor. So think about that. Think like a dog. Think about what your dog would like and try to help him out with it. Now, that brings me to the next thing, dog ice creams and dog ices. You can give your dog anything that doesn't have corn, wheat, soy, BHA, BHT, byproducts, propylene glycol, digest, anything labeled meat or animal without specifying the source, and anything that's not made in China, preferably it's made in the U.S. Anything that is good for your dog, you're more than welcome to do. However, one of my favorites is get chicken broth, or next time you make a piece of chicken, throw it in a pot, put a couple carrots in it, mash it up, and you can give the dog actually a little bit of chicken broth as an ice cube and let him play with that. He'll love it. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. And they love that. You have to be careful because most of the doggy ice creams contain soy, which can cause gas and can lead to bloat in some dogs. So it's always a great idea whenever possible to be able to, I've got a lot of dogs. I can't afford to buy $3 a piece ice cream. Are you kidding me? I'd be going through $50 a day. That's crazy. So, always try to do what you can to help your dogs to be able to, have a little bit easier time and be able to enjoy the summer without, having to overheat or worry about stuff. So please stay tuned because we'll be right back with some more in a moment.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf and the Ridgeback Crew. Wanted to send a special shout out to, I don't even know all his titles anymore, but he's Rambo's John Dillinger with about 8,000 titles behind. And he is number one Ridgeback, and I know in Sinosport, I believe AKC, a whole bunch of other things in obedience and rally and all kinds of things. And we're just so proud of him. That's why it's Kid Brother, same litter. And Wyatt and we are very, very proud of him. Congratulations to Noel and Melissa for doing an amazing job with Dillinger. He is really an incredible boy. We are just so proud. Also wanted to throw a quick shout-out to my good friend Pam, who has been amazing and helping with some of our projects for United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. Wanted to also mention, we have an awesome opportunity for anyone with a rescue or shelter, or if you want to support your local rescue or shelter, Merlin's Kids has a dog walk coming up. And the dog walk is not only for humans and for dogs. It's not called a people walk. It's called a dog walk. But it is also for those of you who have a shelter, or if you're involved with a rescue and you want to try to bring in income, we have an opportunity. Please go onto our website, and we've been sending letters out to a number of the rescues in the areas that we have our United Canine Professionals people, which is 38 states as of right now. Hopefully, you'll all be able to help out and support your local rescue and shelter and help them to raise money so they can have the things that they need so that the rescue and shelter dogs are able to have the same awesome food and toys and great care that we try to give our own dogs. So that is in New Jersey, but we have a virtual walk set up all over the world, and you can do that, and just we can either have a walker walk for you, or we can do a virtual walk for you on behalf of your shelter or your special needs child or your dog or anybody, or join somebody else's team. But just help us to save the world two lives at a time. I've been using that phrase for so long. I don't know, 1980-something. I feel so old when I say that. But saving two lives at a time is so important, because what today's show and the Friday show, as well as obviously our Tuesday show, which is called From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, also on this same great network on Tuesday evenings instead of Friday, same time, we are trying to help prevent the senseless euthanasia of 4 million dogs every single year. Why are 4 million dogs euthanized? Well, some of them genuinely are old and feeble. Not too many. We're talking dogs, most of whom are certainly healthy enough, and the reason they're being euthanized is we don't have enough space, because we have that many inconsiderate people, that many people who give up because the going gets a little tough, because we have that few people who actually care to uphold the promise they made when they got that dog. I don't get it. But there's the reason that there's so many divorces. There are reason there's so many estranged children and estranged parents who don't see their kids. There's also a reason that there are 4 million dogs being euthanized. For God's sake, if you're going to think about giving your dog up, don't. find somebody you know, somebody you trust, who can take your dog and can give him a great home, and you go and you check on that dog, and don't give him away for free. You go to the person's house, you call references, like when someone buys one of my Ridgeback puppies, they get put through the ringer. They have two personal references, and yes, I call. They have to have a veterinarian or someone set up. They should be asking the right questions. Make sure you're not giving your dog up to somebody who's going to use it as bait dog for pit bull fighting. Use your common sense. If you wouldn't let your child, assuming you love your kids, if you wouldn't let your child go to a summer camp that you had never visited with people you'd never looked up to make sure they didn't have a criminal background or that they didn't have some kind of bad things in their background, that they'd been in prison or something like that or were pedophiles, but you don't check that with your dog. Doesn't matter how nice anyone looks. Doesn't matter how nice anyone seems. If you're going to have to give up a dog, then you make sure that you get a family member, somebody you know, or contact a reputable rescue or shelter. Make sure it's a 501c3. Make sure that the people seem to know what they're doing. And even ask them who their trainer or behaviorist is. I know with us at United Canine Professionals, we have rescue partners. And our rescue partners get huge discounts for any dogs that they adopt out so that they have that support from us, from our team of more than 200 United Canine Professionals people in 38 states and 10 other countries. So make sure that you know who the person is, that they're not going to take the dog and just give them away right away. And be honest about your dog. If your dog has a bite history, don't tell somebody. Tell them. And if they won't take the dog, then you can contact us at 855-4-K9-PROS, 855-459-7767. We will be happy to help you. And we might even be able to help you to get a home for that dog. We get hundreds a week people saying, oh, I got the best pit, and it's always pit bulls, don't know why, but I got the best pit bull in the world, but it just nipped my kid. Or I got the best pit bull in the world, but I'm moving into an apartment. I got the best pit bull in the world, and I live in an area that has breed-specific legislation, and I can't have my pit bull there. Don't give the dog up. If somebody said to me I couldn't have my dog, first thing I do is tell whoever it was that they were out of their mind, and I've yelled at people. I've yelled at people that people will say, I can't believe you yelled at that person. I don't yell it very often, but somebody's going to mess with my dogs, you're going to see my wrath. So if you have to give up a dog, make sure you're giving it up to someone you know or a friend of a friend who you can follow. Make sure you check them out. You can look up a criminal background on anyone you want at any point. You can look them up. If somebody has a criminal background or has been in prison, or, you know, a lot of times what people will do, they'll come out and the girlfriend will come because the girlfriend looks nice and sweet, and then the boyfriend, who's the pit bull ring, he won't come out because you'd look at him and say, I'm not giving my dog up to you. So they send a sweet-looking little girlfriend, and she says, oh, I always wanted this dog. I'm going to take such good care of him. And a week later, the dog is ripped up in a pit bull ring. Or they're sold it to somebody for a science experiment or whatever they do. So please, when you make that commitment to your dog, when you get that dog, and if you do have to dishonor your commitment, at least make sure you know where your dog is going. Because if your dog winds up in a dog fighting ring or abused or kids taker, or if the people don't take good care of the dog and it gets out, it gets killed, you think that you're going to find somebody who's going to love your dog as much as you do? Generally, whoever gets that dog as a puppy is going to be the person who's bonded the strongest. That's not always the case, because I certainly have rescue dogs that I adore that I didn't have as puppies. But for the most part, when you get a puppy and they're still cute and sweet, those are the ones, those are the people, the families who tend to be the strongest bond because they knew the dog for the longest. So take care of things. Please just be careful and stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Dog with Janice Wolf. You know, I always get a kick out of it when people say, Janice, do you have, is that like your voice? Because it sounds exactly the same all the time. Well, you know, I've been doing this show for years now, and I've been involved with radio and TV for better part of my life. So I like to have an intro that's kind of catchy. If I just said to you, hi, here's the show, welcome to the show, you wouldn't be listening. So, yeah, if I'm amped up and excited, heck yeah, that's because I'm so excited you guys listen to me on podcast and live all over the world, and it's very exciting. You know, I wanted to give a little bit of an update. You know, we always have the last section is question and answer, and today what I'd want to do, since we went through some things already with first aid and booties for our question and answer, I do want to kind of go into a few kind of common sense things that, you know, common sense isn't always that common. When you're walking your dog and there's another dog, etiquette, dog etiquette, yeah, there's really dog etiquette. When you start walking and there's a person, let's say with a small child, if there are humans around, it's typically going to be an area that is a leashed area. Now, not all over. We're not talking about the dog beach. We're not talking about the dog park. But when you're hiking with your dog, please be considerate. Do you have to do it? No. But let me explain to you why you should want to be considerate. There are people who like to go hiking, and they don't like dogs. Maybe they are afraid. Maybe they got bitten as a kid. Maybe they're just not dog people. Well, if you decide that you're going to be rude and obnoxious and let your dog run over to them, if your dog is perceived as a threat, and let's say somebody trips trying to get away from you, even though your dog didn't even go near them, but it was off leash, you know, you can be held liable for injuries to them if they fall and hurt themselves or drop a baby or bump into the carriage and the baby falls out. You do see things like this that happen. So please be aware, be careful. If you do see people or other dogs, you know your dog may be friendly, but that doesn't mean that other people need to have your dog there. I've seen clients who started out with a dog. Obviously, they didn't have the best dog in the world. If they were calling me, they needed help. So I've had clients whose dogs were very aggressive, and you have these stupid people who come up to them, oh, my dog's fine. But this dog's not fine. So if there's a leash law and your dog does something, whether it's a real or perceived threat, you are responsible. You are liable in most states and in most municipalities for whatever damage would happen because your dog was unleashed. Now, how about if your dog is the best dog in the world, and it happens to just bump into a little baby who's walking, or it happens to jump on somebody, and the person gets scratched or gets knocked down. I have a client who literally just had that happen. It was a nice dog, a golden-y kind of dog, very pretty, a mixed breed, but looks predominantly like a golden. And the dog literally just, like, put a paw up, knocked a kid down, and the kid wound up cracking his head on the back, you know, in the back as he fell, went to the hospital and sued the people. Do you know the dog wound up with a dangerous dog? Not even complaint, but dangerous dog. Because what happens is, if you love, I mean, listen, I love dogs. If your dog comes up to me and he's friendly, I'm cool. If he comes up to me and he bites me, I'll give you my business card and I'll fix it. But not everybody is a dog lover, and some dog lovers, especially people who have little dogs, are worried about it. So don't, I mean, we all make, not make fun, but we all kind of joke about, oh, that's a snack for a big dog. But the key is making sure that the dog is going to be well-behaved, and especially those of you who have pitties or pitty mixes who are very pit-looking, the dog breeds, this breed of all, has so many people who don't like them, so many people who don't want them around, that people think they're aggressive. So if you do have a pitty or a bully breed, make that dog so well-behaved that you change the way people think. Don't stand on ceremony that, well, my dog didn't do anything. Even if your dog is pulling you on a leash, there could be a perception by some people, right or not, it doesn't matter. Remember, real or imagined, if somebody thinks that they're in danger and now your dog is dragging or pulls toward them or is off leash and chases at them and they fall, they can sue you and collect because you have you need to have the confidence in your own self and the common sense to keep your dog under control and away from people who might not want the dog around. And like I said, especially with pitties and bully breeds, try to spend extra time working with them so that they appear to be friendly and sociable. Nobody cares if you have one of those collars that has the spike sticking out. But if you're doing that, don't do it when you're hiking, because people would get that perception. People, whether it's, again, real or imagined, people might think that your dog is aggressive, and their energy will change. You need to be ambassadors for your breed. I've had plenty of pitties and pitty mixes. A lot of my friends have them. I don't use them for service dogs because, you know, there is always that potential that not with all of them, but with a few. And I just, you know, our insurance company doesn't cover pit bulls anyway. They are wonderful. They can be wonderful dogs. The problem is that they, if they do react, they can cause such incredible damage. That's why they're some of the banned breeds. So why do you want to have people be afraid of your dog? Train your dog. Teach your dog. Get a copy of my book. It'll help you a lot. It's called Shh Happens, S-H-H-H. Happens, Dog Behavior 101 by Janice Wolfe. If you get a copy of that book, follow it like it's a recipe for a cake. Just follow what I tell you, and you can utilize the things that I and the tricks that I teach you. But this is dog behavior. It's how dogs think. And if you think like a dog, then it's going to make your dog a lot better dog. So consider that. And again, in the hot weather, when you've got all the humidity, it's super hot, the dogs are outside, they're running around, consider doubling up on your NuVet vitamins. I know a lot of people use them. I would never, ever have a dog that was not on them. All my clients use them. All of our people from United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids use the NuVet. It's NUVET.com. They're called NuVet Plus Wafers for Dogs. You can get a 15% discount if you mention Merlin's Kids or use their order code 40560, and you get what's auto ship, and you can save 15% by using the code 40560. But double up your vitamins in the summer, because not only does that have glucosamine and chondroitin, but it has a lot of the electrolytes in the right balance for dogs, and it'll help prevent itching and allergies and hot spots. It'll also help strengthen the dog and strengthen the immune system, so he'll be better able to be strong and to be less likely to have heat stroke or anything else that can be caused by the summer heat. I can't believe it's time to go already. This hour flies by so fast, but thank you all for everything. And enjoy your beautiful, beautiful weekend ahead. We are grateful for your constant support. And if you need help with a dog, 855-4-CANINE-PROS. We're happy to help you free of charge by phone. Have a great week.